Last week we started talking about a really, really sensitive kind of topic. To all of us, it involves money, it involves resources, it involves economics, it involves how you got here today. It took money to get here. And we started talking last week about how God fits in the middle of all of it and asking ourselves some real, real challenging questions. And so we just kind of scratched the surface, and so we're just going to kind of jump right back in the middle of it again today. And I want to encourage you, we'll kind of just do a real kind of quick review, kind of gloss over of just some thoughts we said and shared last week. And I'd encourage you to go to spectrumchurch.org and go on the media, and you can listen to the entire message. It'll be there. You don't have to buy a CD or anything. But we started the dialogue last week with just this question: how much is enough? How much is enough? That question was posed to John D. Rockefeller. And, you know, he was the founder of Standard Oil, and we found out through one of our guys in the church, did a quick little Google search, and found out that his net worth today in equivalent would be worth 1.5% of the gross national product of what America produces. This man owned. Very, 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 very wealthy man. Asked how much is enough, and his response was just a little bit more. And from his response, you could say that man is full of greed, he's full of avarice, he's full of envy, he hasn't got his priorities straight. But when you do a little study and research from John Rockefeller, you find out that he would say and was quoted, you know, saying things like this, that I believe I have a gift to make money for the kingdom of God and to dispense it as my conscience bears witness for me. And I believe that making money is a gift for the use and the benefit of all mankind. So we kind of find a little bit different scenario with this man maybe than we do with some other people when you think about that thought, how much is enough? We spent some time over in Luke chapter 12, and it's a parable that Jesus talks about. Maybe you want to write that down for your own study. We went in detail last week. We find out that there's a man who's evidently a hardworking man. He's got a great field. He's got great crops. They're producing lots. He's got barns, not a barn, barns that he would store all his crops. And he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns where I can store all my crops since there's just so much that I have. And he said, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to take it easy, and I'm just going to rest, and I'm going to relax. And I'm just going to say to my soul, you've done well, just kick back for a while. And the Bible says, Jesus, who's telling the parable, calls the man a fool. And he says, you don't realize, but tonight, your life will be taken from you. And he uses the parable, Jesus, not talking about that money's bad, but talking about the rightful use of money, the rightful use of resources, how we think about it, how we manage it, and if God is in the middle of it. And so the question the parable asks, we said this last week, is why do you need more if you have enough? Why do you need more? Is there wrong? Is it wrong to have more? Well, this man was wanting more, and evidently his wanting more was wrong. But is it wrong for you to want more? Yeah, maybe so, maybe not. Last week we tackled a thought just about the word greed, that the word greed means wanting more for eager gain. It wants more for, the last three words are the key, for eager gain. I'm looking at it for myself, eagerly grasping and wanting it only to benefit me. We said last week there's two sides of the coin for greed. One is this word called envy. Envy means you're unhappy until you have what somebody else has. I won't be happy until I live in that house, drive that car, wear those shoes, have that purse, send my kids to that school. I won't be happy. So my having enough and me being envious is all wrapped around in something I currently don't have, so I'm not at rest. I'm always agitated. I'm a little bit fussy on the inside. I'm a little bit malcontent on the inside because I'm wanting something you have. I go to the parking lot and I hear everybody going, beep, 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 beep. I don't have a beep, beep. I got a key in the thing and I got to find my own car. I'm envious. I want a beeper. Something I hope none of us are involved in, but the word in the Old Testament over and over, and we see it in the New Testament, is this word covet. This is the other side of greed. Covet. Covet means I want what you have, and I'm going to make it mine. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to take it from you. So I'm going to try to bring harm to you to take something from you. I'm going to covet it. And again, we found out from the Old Testament, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't covet anything. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet their house. Don't covet their dog. Don't covet anything. And so we found out again, I'll review from last week, is this word content. The Bible tells me and you to be content. To be content. Content means have faith in God that's independent of outward circumstances. So regardless of where I'm at right now, the one bedroom with the roaches on the wall, I got to say right now, I don't like it, but God, I'm going to be at peace in the middle of it. I've lived in a place like that. Listen, in Bible school, roaches coming across my face in the middle of the night. I'm kidding you not. I'm kidding you not. That's all I could afford. And I started using my authority against roaches and buying roach spray. Come on, everybody. But I had to be content with God. This is where I'm at right now. This isn't my going to be forever, but this is only where I'm at right now. And it did change. So there's no roaches in my house right now. But wherever you're at, right now, can you be okay? Can you be okay? And maybe, listen, if you're in a terrible situation, you got to take what I'm saying and you got to factor the Word of God with where you're at. And you can't get condemned and you can't get under guilt and you can't say, well, this is just the way it's always going to be. Is that what Pastor Gary's saying? You got to take the Word of God and have a bigger, broader spectrum of all what's going on maybe in your own scenario and circumstances right now. But contentment means I have faith in God that's independent of where I'm at, what my condition is, where I'm living right now. I believe God is good and He's still going to work His goodness in my life right now. We said three things from the New Testament last week where it tells us that we need to be content. We need to be content, number one, with our current paycheck. That might be hard for you to swallow, but that's what the Word says. Number two, you need to be content with your current possessions. Content with your current possessions. And number three, the Bible says you need to be content with your current provision, with what is being provided for you right now in your own life, with the possessions you currently have right now, with your paycheck right now. Can you be content? Can you still serve God? Can you still have a great attitude? Can you still pray? Can you still believe? Can you still hope? Can you still dream, even though you might not be exactly where you want to be or you're in a tight spot right now? We'll talk about it. Can you be content? Financial contentment means that money isn't controlling you. You're controlling it. You are in control. It's not calling the shots in your life. Financial contentment says that. So again, there's the lifestyle, what we're talking about, where we're saying it's never enough. Is it a good place to live? Is that lifestyle? It's just never enough. Or I'm always looking for more. I'm always wanting more. I'm always reaching for more. And the answer we found out last week is it depends. It depends. It depends on lots of things. But listen to me. It depends really on this major thought. What will you do with the more that you get? That's the question you've got to ask. What will you do with it? Is God in the equation? If God's not in the equation, we're going to find out today what you want might bring you ruin. Might lead you to a crazy spot. Might lead you to a place that you're making bad decisions. Hence, all the people. Listen, historically, it's a fact. Most inheritance is squandered in the first 4 years. People that get great wealth, people that get grandma leaves them money, there's nothing left after 4 years. It's gone. They bought the car got traded, it's busted down, It's gone. They went on the trip. They went cray-cray. They bought crazy purses. They bought stuff with spinny rims. They bought stuff they couldn't. It's gone. 4 years. 4 years. So what happens when you get more in your life? Can you handle more? If you're not, and if you can't, God might be kind of holding you back until you get some things right so you can be faithful in little and ruler over much. Anybody got a good daddy that didn't give you everything you wanted? Good daddy. He's a good daddy. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 says this: a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. A sound heart, life to the body. Another translation says a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. And so here's this word again, envy to the bones. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So if you're not content, if I'm not content, I could be falling into the trap of the enemy. And I could just be, again, in my life, there's just no peace until I live over here, until I drive that, until I make, I just can't be content making $14 an hour, $10 an hour. I'm not content making $65,000 an hour with a 401k and health benefits. I need 95. And I'm not saying you don't, but I'm saying, what are you going to do with the extra 30K? Is God in the first 65K? And if God's not in the first 65K, I'm not so sure He wants you to get 95K. And if God isn't in the $10 an hour, I'm really not sure if He wants you to get 11. Can I just tell you the truth up in here today? Get God in the middle of it all, and can you be at peace right now with what you have? Probably most of us are going to watch the Super Bowl. Any Super Bowl watchers today? Okay, how many people going for Denver? Give it hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
Ooh. How many people think that Carolina's going to go? Huh? How many people really don't care? Hey, hey. I'm going for chip and dipping. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm saying. But we're all going to see advertisers. Come on, we're all going to be watching advertisers and all that kind of stuff today. It's going to be at a heightened pace. Come on, it's about $4 million for, 60 seconds or whatever it is. Some crazy feel. Yeah, $5 million. There you go. It's going to be crazy. And the whole advertiser's job is to make you discontent with your current life. It is. It's to show you that you need this. You need this. I saw somebody posted on Facebook this. I forgot the actor's name. He's a cute little guy. And the whole ad is about a Kia car. And it's about two girls in this Kia car. And it's this cute dude. And the whole, he's everywhere. The guy's, he plays every part. And so the girls are looking and he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And the whole commercial is showing, trying to tell you, if you get the Kia, you get the guy. Can I tell you? That ain't real. You get the Kia, you get car payments. That's what you get. You don't get the guy. It's just trying to make you discontent. So you go out to your garage and you see your 18-year-old car and you go, I need a Kia. Pandora ad. I told you before, I listen to Pandora when I'm in the gym working out. And Pandora, Kia in San Diego, if you make $300 a week, you qualify for a new Kia. And I'm screaming in the gym, if you make $300 a week, all you can afford is a bicycle. How are you going to pay rent? How are you going to pay? How are you going to raise your kid? You come on, somebody. If you live at home, you're all right. But come on, the real world. Come on, anybody in the real world out there? Yeah. You got to have a little more than $300 a week. But advertisers are going to try to make us discontent. You need stuff. That's what it's all about. And you got to be careful that we don't slip into envy and greed and looking at what other people have and go, I'm dissatisfied. I'm not at peace in my life. Wow, Paul knew all about this. Look real quick, Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 12 and 13. Paul says this, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Have you been there? Need and plenty? Yeah. I learned the secret. Here's the key. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether eating at Morton's downtown or whether eating crumbs from the table. I've learned the secret. I've learned the secret, whether living in plenty or living in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13, that's one of the most noted scriptures in the Bible. I can do all things. Come on, people post that all the time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's said about living with lots and living with nothing. Have you learned the secret of staying the same? Is God in the middle of it all when you got nothing? Is God in the middle when you get the bonus and you're on the high time? Is God in the middle of it? If God isn't in the middle of it, you might be setting yourself up for some challenging days ahead. Paul says this, I'm sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. So I'm spiritually sufficient. He's my supplier. I'm going to be naturally sufficient, whether I have lots or I have little. I've learned the secret. I've learned the secret of when I'm three times shipwrecked in the ocean. I've learned the secret when people are persecuting me, what I say, what I don't say. I've learned the secret on how to live. Again, Paul writes this over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. Look at this real quick. Verse 9 through 10, I want to read to you from the New Living Translation because it says some amazing words here. Pay attention. Just look on the screen real quick with me. Paul says this, not just about rich people. He addresses rich people, but he's addressing really all people who have any kind of resource at all. He says, but the people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires, and they plunge them into ruin and destruction. Who wants that? I don't know anybody who wants that. Then verse 10 is one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible. He goes on to say, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Anybody ever heard that misquoted? I did this past week. Somebody was shaking their head at me this past week going, well, you know, money is the root of all evil. And I shook my head back at him. I said, wrong. And he kind of went back and I said, dude, if you're going to quote the Bible, quote it right. And I don't know if he's a church guy or not. Just kind of went crazy on him there for a minute, you know. Just kind of came out of me or something. And I said, the Bible says loving. That's the whole key, right? Loving it. The love of money. I can't be me unless I got raining $100 bills. I can't be me unless I got all kind of stuff. I love it. Got to have it. He says, loving it is going to bring evil in your life. And some people, look at the word, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Note the words. Long to be rich, fall into temptation, trapped, foolish, harmful desires, plunged into ruin, destruction, craving money, wandered from the true faith, pierced yourself, many sorrows. Who wants that? I don't know anybody that wants it. But if my motive in life is I need more money. If that's my motive, I'm piercing myself. I'm hurting myself. I'm destroying myself. How much is enough? How much is enough? You can have as much as God will give you if God is in the middle of what you currently have. Oh, when I get, I'm 65K a year. When I get 95, I'll give. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm sorry. Sorry. Faithful in little, ruler over much. It's a spiritual principle. Somehow, some way, that 30 extra K will be gone because my envy and my greed will take over. And so I'll look around my house and I'll get discontent. Three bedroom ain't enough. Old furniture ain't enough. 60 inch ain't enough. I need 80 inch. This neighborhood ain't right no more. I need to be there. Come on, I'm in San Diego. I need a beach view. Your flesh will go crazy on you. True story, 1347, the Black Plague was raging through Europe and thousands of people died. Many people saw it as a judgment of God, and so hoping to appease God's wrath, the citizens of Lübeck, Germany, surrounded the churches and monasteries of their city and offered them enormous amounts of money and riches. The monks and priests inside one of these monasteries, fearful of contamination, barred their gates and would not allow the citizens to enter. The persistent crowds threw valuables, coins, gold, jewels over the walls, and the frightened monks threw it all back. The money and the valuables were thrown back and forth the walls for hours until the monks finally gave up and allowed the riches to remain. Within hours, piles 3 to 4 feet high were there, and for months following the incident, some say for years, the money remained untouched. The writer goes on to say this, why did the people of Lübeck want to give their money? They thought it would bring them life, appease God. Why didn't the monks want the money? The monks thought the money would bring them death. They associated riches, money, with loving it. It's going to bring death in my life. We found out last week, I'm going to tell you again this week, based on all the parables that Jesus told concerning money, you'll see several things. Number one, money can't buy you security. It can't buy you security. Number two, money can't buy you enjoyment of life. You can have a lot of money and you can be miserable, miserable. Money can't buy you health. You can't avoid death. It can't bring health into your life. More money, sad to say, you can have the best doctors and you could still die. Money can't bring that. What God is against is the increasing desire of loving, longing for, coveting after, greedy, craving money. Why? God has got to be the first person you love and desire and Him only. Can I get a better amen in the room? How much is enough? How much is enough? Four things we all need to get right. Number one, Bible talks about it. You're required to earn money. You need to earn money. Earn it. Number two, you need to save money. Save money. Number three, you need to give your money. Or give your money, number two, I should say. Save your money, number three. And then number four, love. Or live. Live. Love what you're doing. Live on what God's given you. So God's given you the ability to earn money. Earn money. And what you do with that money that you earn, the first thing that you and I need to be doing is to give. We need to get God in the equation. We need to give money. And then we need to save. We pay yourself. Whatever it is, pay yourself. Some people are going, 10% of my income, I'm saving away and storing away. Praise the Lord. Maybe you can do it a certain season. Maybe you can do more. Maybe you can start with just less. But start somewhere, because the Bible says God's going to bless your storehouse. So start paying yourself. $5 a week, $10 a week, whatever you can do. Start paying yourself. Saving some money. And then the Bible's real clear, live on the rest of it. Live on the rest of it. But don't get your living above your giving. Don't get your living above your saving. And make sure that you're within the means that God has positioned you currently. So if you're somewhere right now and you were living at a certain economic level and then now it's decreased in your life, now you've got to bring your expenses and everything back down to a certain place, because Paul says you can still be content there. You can still be okay there. You can still not look at that and say, I can't be happy until I have that. Or if it's reversed, you can be malcontent where you're at until you get to where you need or going on the journey to be. Let God deal with you where you're at right now. And get God in your financial well-being right now. Let's talk just a little bit further here today. Ecclesiastes 5:19, it says this. Also, whenever God gives people wealth and riches and enables them to enjoy it, to accept their place in the world and to find pleasure in their hard work, all this is God's gift. What a great scripture. It's all God's gift. Well, what the writer is saying is that God wants you to enjoy the financial increase he brings in your life. He wants you to enjoy it. It's not like God saying, okay, hey, you make this money. It's all, give everything to me. I don't really think that's what he's telling you to do. He asked one guy to do that in the Bible, and I really don't find him asking anybody else that. The Bible says here, and it tells us in this scripture, that they would accept their place in the world. And what he's saying there is that you and I would find the place that God's, the grace and the ability that God's given to us, and we would make that fit in the work environment where it's going to bring us pleasure, and it's going to bring God pleasure. He tells us here that we would find our pleasure in their hard work. Can I tell you something? Hard work should bring you pleasure. The work that God's called you to do. I know a lot of people, and I know in our generation where a lot of people are working crazy hours, long hours, and I know there's seasons of that. But in everything we're doing, if we're in the flow that God has for us, even when we're under the gun, even when there's pressure, there should be pleasure in it because you know I'm doing what God called me to do. Here he says, and again, finishes the thought, that work is a gift. Work is a gift. Don't look at work as a curse. Work is a gift. Listen to me. If you did not have the job you have right now, you might be living somewhere you do not want to be living. Anybody here? Come on. If you didn't have a job right now, I bike along 54 bike path, and I see, I'm sad to say, but I see a couple brothers living under the bridge. They live under the bridge. They do not work. I don't know the whole story. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for where I'm at. I'm thankful for the car I drive. I'm thankful for where I'm at. Are you content there? God wants you to enjoy your place right now. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this. And you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to his fathers as it is this day. What a great scripture. God tells you his heart. God's given you power to get wealth. The word power means several things. Notice on the screen. It means capacity. He gives you capacity to get wealth. He gives you the means to get wealth. He gives you the ability to get wealth. He gives you the might and the strength to get wealth. Now listen, I was raised, I've been around, you know, I've been saved for a long time. I've been pastoring for 30 plus years now. And so back years and years ago, people would take this scripture and people would say, kinda or real blatantly, the way it's going to come, the wealth is that you are going to give money to me. That's how God's going to do it. And I'm not saying that's not kinda, but that's really not kinda. God will lead you to bless somebody. That happens all the time. I mean, just because of your love, you blessed Pastor Kimberly this morning or last week or whatever. That happens. And people have blessed you financially. People have given things to you. But that's not what he's talking about here. God's going to give you the power to get wealth. So straighten up your thinking. My thinking, too, is that God's called me and God's commissioned me to get wealth. Now, how's he going to do it? How's he going to do it? Is he going to tell me go down to 7-Eleven to buy a scratch ticket? Is that how he's going to do it? Not really, because wealth gotten hastily leads to your ruin. So that's not what he's going to do. Is he just going to rain it from the sky? Is the rich uncle going to die? All inheritance, I'm down with that. But how's he going to do this practically? How's he going to do it? That he's going to give me, you, he's going to give me power to get it. How? I need to know how. Anybody like me want to know how? I want to know how. Wow. Well, before we get to how, he says the wealth he wants to bring you is to do something. He tells us, verse 18, to establish his covenant. To establish his covenant. The wealth he brings in my life, the increase he brings in my life, the job he brings in my life, isn't just about me. It's not about buying skinny jeans and cool shoes. It's not about buying a bike. It's not about living in that house. That's not that. That's subsidiary. It's about his kingdom and covenant working here on the earth. So he says, listen. If you want that, I'll give you power to get it. If you don't want that, I'm not so sure you're going to get the power to get it. I never gave my keys of a car to my kids when they were 10. You can't handle the power. Let's see what you do with the bike. Let's see when you get of age. Let's see how you handle it. God wants to give you power. He said he's giving you power to get wealth. Hosea 2:8, well, let's just camp here just a second, then we'll move on. How's God going to do it? Hosea 2:8, alarming scripture. Alarming, let me tell you. Challenging, and we'll talk about it for just about 2 seconds. God's talking to the nation of Israel. If you know the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, listen, here's their life. It's like this. It's a yo-yo. God sent judges in the Old Testament, a book called Judges. Samson was a judge. Jephthah was a judge. And God would send them and to lead the nation. They'd serve God, and they're all hot. Then all of a sudden that judge would die, and they'd leave God. And their whole life was like this. Listen, hopefully our lives aren't, you know, let's just keep going on with God, right? Let's just keep going on with God. And so notice what God says. He says, she doesn't realize, she meaning the nation of Israel, doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has, the grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold, but she gave all my gifts to Baal. Wow, we'll talk about that. God says, the whole nation doesn't even realize that I gave them everything they have. The word Baal means Lord or Master, and it was really a name given for the false gods and the deity that the nations that didn't know God worshipped. And so God says, listen, I'm the lawful owner of everything in your life. I gave you life. I gave you breath. I gave you strength. And now everything I gave you, the ability to make a living, I gave you everything. And then now you're taking everything I gave you and you're worshiping, here it is, the world with it. You're using it for yourself and you're worshiping the world. How come I'm not in your financial life? I gave you everything. He's challenging them. He's challenging us. God gives you power to get wealth that he can confirm and establish the covenant in the earth. So the person making $10 an hour is the same as the person making $5,000 an hour. It makes no difference. God's given us power to get wealth. He wants us to realize what we've been given is to further the kingdom cause on the earth. So here's the question. How is God going to give you the power to get wealth? Again, my upbringing was something's going to happen miraculously. And just pray that miracle, mighty miracle, supernatural money's coming from the golden goose from the sky. It's just coming down and it's just going to rain in. And listen, there's supernatural stuff that's happened to my life. Not because I'm a pastor, just supernaturally has happened. But the day in, the day out, the Monday through Friday, all the time, how's God going to give me? If he gave me power to get it, evidently it's going to work all the time. So how? Titus 3:14, notice. Let our own people really learn to apply themselves to good deeds, to honest labor and honorable employment, so that they may be able to meet necessary demands whenever the occasion may require. Honest labor and honest employment. Keep that in your mind. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what's good, that he may have something to give him who has need. The Bible says God, listen to me, is going to make you wealthy, meaning resources enough to meet your need and increase through your job. Poke your neighbor and say, get a job. Can you tell them that? Just get a job. Just get a job. Get a job. Maybe as you're poking them, say, I have a job. Thank you. I have a job. Just in case. Just in case. The way you are prospered is through your job. Ephesians 4:28 says, notice again, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands, here's the phrase, that which is good. That which is good. 30 seconds, let me break it down for you. God has gifted you individually, specifically with doing what is good. What works with you, how you're ticking, how you're ticked, how you're made, how you're fashioned, how you're formed, what excites you, what frustrates you, what you're passionate about, what you're gifted at. God has given you all that so that you will find the perfect fit in this earth that will then cause you to have a job, make a job, be an entrepreneur, start a job that will bring increase in your life. Can I get a better amen in the room? Let me tell you, Brittany's here right now. We got four kids, 28, 26, 21, 18. And I talk about Michael and Brittany because it's just hilarious because we found this out real early on. Brittany graduates from Bonita. She's a good student. Immediately she goes to SDSU, goes 4.5 years, graduates, wants to be a social worker after that. She gets her master's paid for. Boom, shuckalucka, there she is working for the East County. Goes from 6 years of university and in the workforce. Woo, full speed ahead, benefits, working. Mom, it's awesome. Son, who's older than her by 18 months, he hated school. Hated it. So guess what? I ain't paying for no one's school to hate school. If you're an American, you go to college and you go to debt whether you like it or not. The brother don't like school, but he likes to work. And so while he's in school, I said, bro, if you want to work, he goes in high school in 12th grade. He gets out early. He gets a job. Gets a job. He goes to Bible school for a while, comes back, starts working at Best Buy in sales, gets a job. He's been there for 6 years. He's in Vegas, married, got a little baby now. They bought a house, he and his wife, and now he's been there 6 years. Didn't go to college. He's making great money. Just got, he's moving back to another store now. He'll be right under the general manager. He just called us last night and told us, Dad, I just want to tell you, I'm going to be under the general manager. I got a raise. I'm going to be they gave me a 5-figure increase. Five figures. So I'll be making a $10,000 over that increase a year. And I'm just going, God, you're so good. Didn't want to push him in school. He'd have failed. He'd probably be on drugs under the bridge somewhere. Come on, somebody. Sorry, I said that. Did I say that? I thought that. Did I really say that? Sorry. It's in my head. Sorry. Here's what I'm saying. If you are doing what God's gifted you to do, number one, it's going to bring you joy. It's going to bring you pleasure. Even if it's tough, you're going to go, man, I had a tough day, but I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to go back. And it's going to bring you economic benefit. And through it, God is going to make you wealthy. I'm not saying you're going to move wherever. I'm not going to say you're going to drive whatever. I'm just going to say it's going to bring increase in your life. But it tells us, Ephesians 4:28, notice what it says at the end. Notice what it says. Don't miss it. Because it tells us the motivation for you working is that you may have something to give him who has need. So listen to me. The first reason God says, I'm going to give you a job. The first reason I've graced you. The first reason I put that gifting in you is so that through that gifting, you're going to find employment. Through that employment, I'm going to give you the ability to give. If you don't think you can give, you are mistaken. Everybody can give. Last scripture, promise you. Matthew 6, Jesus said something amazing. Longest dialogue that we've got Jesus recorded anyway, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's all in red letters in your Bible. And he's talking here, and he's talking about some economics and some finances and dealing with the disciples and dealing with the crowds. And he says this in Matthew 6, 20, 19 through 21. He says, do not gather and heap up and store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy, where thieves break through and steal. But gather and heap up and store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust or worm consume and destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's incredible that Jesus uses the very same words for gathering and heaping and storing and all that stuff. But it's for myself, or gathering and heaping and storing for heaven. Where are you storing all your stuff? If it's all on the earth, he says it'll produce not necessarily physical thieves, maybe. I mean, maybe your 401k goes down. Maybe your stock thing goes down. Maybe your house doesn't necessarily go up. It goes down. I don't know. But I think he's talking about something a little deeper. That you're never going to have true peace and content in your life. And there'll always be thief breaking in your mind and worms coming in and eating away at the life of God if you don't get this right. If you don't be a giver. Don't sacrifice towards kingdom cause. There'll be an unsatisfaction in your life. We've got an amazing church, a generous church. So many people, different economic levels. I don't know everything, but I know enough. You know, we got people that are just a minimum wage sacrificing, giving. I mean, giving tithing, giving missions. Kids go, okay, just giving. We got people that are up off the top. I mean, people that are maybe self-employed or people that own business and they make money and they're just so generous. But listen to me, wherever you find yourself, you know, maybe today that you just say, man, I'm just stuck. I don't know exactly what to do. I'm just stuck. I mean, can I tell you, stuck is terrible. I don't care if you're stuck in your marriage, you're stuck in your finances, you're stuck in your health, you're stuck in your weight. Stuck stinks. I don't like it. And so if you're stuck financially, let me just encourage you. We got a slide here. There's a guy named Dave Ramsey. You've probably seen him on he's all over, you know, NBC and CBS. He does stuff all the time. He's a Christian brother. He's got phenomenal products. There's a thing that we've done here before called Financial Peace University. It has helped lots of people in lots of ways to get their finances in order. If you've never taken the Financial Peace curriculum or study, I would encourage you to go online, Dave Ramsey or whatever his website is. Just do a Google search and write the information down. Take the course. It's going to help you. It's going to bless you. He's going to cause you thinking to get in line and maybe challenge you in some areas. And I believe at the end of it, you'll see God working in a very, very powerful way in 2016 and give you a plan of attack, how you can keep God and get God in the middle of your natural resources. How much is enough? How much is enough? Well, it depends. Is God in the middle of what you got right now? If he's not, I'd encourage you, if you're single, have that discussion with yourself. If you're married, get your husband, get your wife together and say, hey, babe, let's figure this thing out. How are we going to get God in the middle of all this? Is God just a Sunday thing? Is God just a out there thing, I hope I go to heaven kind of thing, or do I really believe what Pastor Gary's saying? Do I really believe that God wants to get involved in my everyday life while I'm on the earth? Have we slipped into those people like in Hosea that we haven't realized God gave us all this? And now we're really worshiping, hate to say it, I'm going to say it, we're really worshiping ourselves. We're really worshiping just this world system. We're in this trap, and we don't all quite realize that how we get out. My prayer for you is that the Word of God would penetrate in your heart. And listen, this isn't a money message, give to Spectrum Church message. This is, we want you free. We want you delivered. We want peace in your life. We want you contented. We want you flowing in the gift and the grace of God so that you see God do some amazing things in your life. And at the end of 2016, you go, man, God did some crazy stuff for us as we just believed Him and we partnered with Him. I believe this year will be an amazing year for you if you make that challenge and start working and moving and walking in that way. We believe you're going to do it. Come on, stand up with me. Would you do it? Bow your head. Father, we just thank you today. Even hard message about dealing with stuff that we all struggle with at times. I struggle with. How much is enough? I'm supposed to be current with my paycheck. I'm supposed to be content with my current possessions. I'm supposed to be content with my current provision. Lord God, I struggle at times. So we're asking you to help us just think in line with your word. Help us think in line with your counsel. Help us learn the secret of living, whether we have a lot or we don't have. Father, we know you told us today that my God is going to meet all my need according to your riches and glory. We know that. Father, move us closer to you to partner with you and see that work in our lives in a new way. Father, if we want more, help us want it for the right reason. Father, I pray for those that maybe are in a place that they don't even have their basic needs being met. Father, I pray, meet that need. Give them shelter, give them food, clothing. Father God, you said in Matthew 6 you'd want to do that. Look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't save, yet you take care of them. Father, let people's faith rise today that you'll take care of them. You take care of them. Father, we believe you in times of uncertainty, in times of change. We believe you that you're still good, you're still God, and you're going to help us. And so we take a step today for the rest of the year to partner with you. Partner with you. Help us take some necessary steps. Maybe go to Financial Peace and get some literature and read and meditate, Father, so we can get this in us and work with you. We want to work with you. We want to walk with you. We pray it today, Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Come on, you agree with that? Just say amen. Come on, say it one more time. Amen. Hey, come on up here, prayer partners. Help us this morning. All of our prayer partners. If you don't know Jesus, if you're away from God today, the first thing you need to do to get your heart...